Well, welcome everyone. This is the TOD Advisory Group meeting number 11, November 16th, and hope you're all doing well. Let's call the meeting to order. I'm just going to run through the agenda briefly here. We're going to review the meeting minutes. We're going to have some public comments, if there are any, talk about chat protocol, and then we're going to go through our discussion items for the evening. And that includes the debrief of last week's three presentations, last month's, I'm sorry. Talk a little bit about our schedule, item number two. We'll have the Puyallup Avenue design project check-in, and then we'll have a roundtable regarding the Portland Avenue station with these various groups discussing their key items and issues. And then we'll have brief communications items with the BRT, and Lee Huang will talk about the Transportation Commission recommendations for the next budget period, and he'll also present this attachment. And then we're going to talk about future meetings briefly and any closing comments or new business, and then we'll adjourn. Okay, so I want to say that we want to, we're trying to reformat our agenda a little bit, and I've recently felt that we haven't been we've had presentations and we just get into the discussion and then the discussion has to move to the next topic. So what I've recommended is we have longer discussion items with these various groups so that we can have a real discussion, maybe come up with some consensus, and not just move right to the next item. So we've tried to reformat the agenda in that manner. So you can see the primary item this month is the Portland Avenue station roundtable so that we can get feedback like we've been talking about from the Puyallup Tribe, the Port of Tacoma, WashDOT, and then also Pierce Transit and the city in order to make our recommendation for that station. So that's, I think, going to be the new format going forward, just so that we have enough time to, again, have an in-depth discussion and get to a consensus, or at least partial consensus, and then we can debrief the following month a little bit more so that we can start making recommendations. All right?
Sounds good.
So we're gonna spend just 3 minutes or less reviewing the meeting notes from last month. And I'm gonna scroll down. Again, I'm hoping that you've all had a chance to read these. We had no public comment after the call to order and the meeting notes were reviewed. The discussion items were on board was the ULI TAP report by John Hempelman. Did a great job summarizing their items related to TOD and our district, the district we're discussing. This is a summary of the bullet points. Item C, they pretty much favored close to Sounder like we have. And they recommend incorporating these elements here. I'm not going to mention every one of them, but those are great points to use for us going forward as well as we develop further recommendations. And then just a couple of comments that came up from some of the members. Moving down, we had the Puyallup Avenue design project discussion. Dana Brown addressed the concern that a lot of us brought up the meeting before regarding parking, pedestrian orientation. Those are the two primary things that I recall, primarily parking. And then we discussed design elements required for the grant, a little bit about the timeline, questions came up. And we'll get more into that today. We had a TDLE update Eric Chips, covering the potential routes and stations. Talked about, guided us through the website a little bit for the open houses. And we had a discussion about Close to Sounder being shown on the website. And we talked about the work plan and schedule. And we'll update that again today. Item three, communication items, keeping blue collars in green cities. It's a suggested reading that came up. We stressed the fact that the open house for TDLE, I think that's, is that really, is it over or has it been extended even further? Looks like it was November 2nd.
Yeah, I believe it's over.
Yep. And the tentative agenda for future meetings, which again, we'll talk about again tonight. Okay, let's go back up to the top. Are there any further or any comments on the meeting notes from last month?
This is Li Huang Wong. We did not receive any public comments on any item on the agenda before the by 2 o'clock of today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Li Huang. The number three, chat protocol. We want to talk about this just a little bit. Sometimes it's distracting or disruptive to have chat conversations alongside of what we're doing. And it also doesn't get included as part of the record. So, I mean, the point of our meetings is to have a discussion. So please feel free to share whatever you have in the chat instead of chatting so that it can be made public and we can have a discussion about it. Otherwise, there's a side conversation and you tend to focus on that instead of what's happening in the group. So I'm just going to recommend that we try to limit our chatting and as we move forward. Okay, hope everyone's okay with that.
Sounds good.
So let's go on to discussion item number one. So as I mentioned earlier, we want to try to debrief on what we heard last month. And I know it's been a month and we all have busy schedules and maybe attempt to recall what happened. But let's just start with the ULI report. Did you guys have any specific takeaways from last month?
I had a couple.
Point two. Yeah, please.
I think Hempelman, this is the second time we had the briefing, but I thought he did an excellent job on it. I thought the emphasis basically on the Close to Sounder was extremely important. Mm-hmm. The discussion about bridges to the Tacoma Dome, and I think we also talked about, some of us anyway, about linking across the Pierce Transit's parking garage. As part of that, and the emphasis on pedestrian amenities. He talked a lot about D Street, but I think in terms of what we had done with the Amtrak task force, I think East 25th Street also has to be a major part of that focus. And then what I kind of took away is we're kind of filling in little pieces here and there, but going back to that concept of having a master plan, it's something we really, I think, should be emphasizing. I don't know if the city's going to have the resources for that, but we keep hearing it in terms of zoning, land use, massing, pedestrian amenities, wayfinding. So a lot of things kind of lead to that. So I kind of took that away as, yeah, that's really important. Did you hear that? I don't. Did any of that go through?
I heard it. Emad, you're on mute.
Thank you. Here's a summary of the ULI bullet points from John. Multimodal and elevated station design to be activated under the rail spaces, and including the tail tracks, if I remember him saying that correctly. There's a pedestrian bridge, improved streetscape and enhanced pedestrian amenities, especially along East D Street as a spine, I remember him saying. I want to leverage available parking, collaborate with developers to provide mixed-use parking. These are all sound items for us to consider. Revise zoning code to allow for diverse designs and developments. Affordable housing in the district at different income levels. There's the master plan, Vice Chair Erickson mentioned, and a transportation benefit district, which I believe somebody mentioned we have one at $20 a car. I don't know who said that, but we have one already.
That was me.
Justin, that's what I thought.
So we can't create them by zone. So we can't just create a TBD in the Dome District. It's a citywide.
Got it. Okay. It's good to know. Citywide only. And Justin, you also commented on the suggestion for the bridge landing on the tribal land and activation underneath the guideway trail, which we mentioned. Okay, so any other takeaways anyone has? Is it safe to assume that all these outstanding bullet points are relevant to our upcoming recommendations for both the Puyallup Avenue design project and the Portland Avenue station?
Yeah, except the connection to the Tacoma Dome might be a kind of a long stretch from.
Of course. But as far as
probably not the transportation benefit district, right?
Right.
I have a clarification since my name is in. The way that this sounds like that I am advocating that a pedestrian bridge land on the tribal land, that is absolutely the exact opposite of what I had said.
Mm.
I would never advocate for that. That is sacred ground for them. And in fact, I've always said that we need to just stop talking about it.
We'll adjust the notes to indicate that you expressed concern about the concept of.
Right. This just misconstrues what I've actually said. And then also the activation underneath the guideway, my actual comment was it can't be permanent activation because eventually Sound Transit will need to get back in there and extend, hopefully one day, for an ST4 to the Tacoma Mall. So, to be frank, that whole thing could just be ripped out of there. I'd be completely okay with that.
Oh, you would?
Yes, it totally misrepresents anything I've ever said.
Brian, is that something we could do?
We will delete it.
Okay.
Yeah, these aren't official minutes. The notes.
We certainly don't want to misconstrue what somebody said. So
yeah,
the key issue of extension and activation underneath the tracks, including the tail tracks, is something that's been brought up numerous times. So it's not critical to be in here anyways.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any further comments on the ULI TAP report so we can move on? All right, how about Puyallup Avenue? Were there any takeaways from that discussion that anyone wants to bring up? I'll start. I clearly heard that there are two things that we should probably move forward in our recommendations, and this will have to be a consensus, but two primary things I heard. One is to have no net loss of existing parking along Puyallup Avenue between Pacific and Deep for those businesses and future businesses there. I heard that loud and clear. I also heard that that strip of Puyallup Avenue should, at least that strip should be, or that segment, ought to have a pedestrian-oriented feel as well. I know some of the neighborhood, the business members are here. If you guys want to chime in, feel free.
I'll chime in. This is Kathy. I just would echo what you've just said, that I think it's critical that we retain the parking. And remember that we had a lot of discussion about activating the streetscape and how that was critical to the success of that district. So I don't have anything to add to it, but definitely concur with it and support it.
Okay.
I would second that. I think you stated that very well, Ahmad, the concerns of having a
great
orientation in that section of Puyallup Avenue.
Thanks, Rick. Is there anyone in the group that opposes those two elements? So that, again, we're trying to get to some level of consensus and recommendation in order to move forward. Not that we have to decide on our recommendation tonight, but is there anyone that opposes to those two items or has additional items?
I have my hand raised, so I don't know if we're doing the blue hand raise.
Yeah. Sorry, but I couldn't see it, Justin.
Okay. It's in the participants. If you clicked on participants, it'd be there. That's fine. So my comment is, I don't want to necessarily say I'm against this motion or this recommendation, but I think it's pretty 20th century focus on cars and not really thinking about the 21st century, about how we want to move people and things through our community. But with that said, my comment about parking was more about holistic parking. So instead of literally counting one stall for one stall on the street of Puyallup Avenue, is to look how we can better utilize our side streets for example, angled in parking rather than parallel parking. This is what we did in Pacific Avenue. So that way we could, one, make it more pedestrian friendly, two, make it stormwater friendly, because that was actually how Pacific Avenue was getting paid, was through stormwater grant funding from the federal government. And three, we actually expanded the bus zones on Pacific Avenue. And we were able to save as much parking by expanding side street angled parking. So I'm not saying I'm against this theory. I don't like how it's phrased. It's not very multimodal approach to the way we should be designing our streets for the 21st century. But I do think that we should look at it more of a holistic point of view rather than just from curb to curb on Puyallup Avenue about that parking.
Okay, well said.
This is Janice. I would like to also make a comment, Chair Baba.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we talk about what's going on Puyallup Avenue, and in light of COVID and future development, there's a lot of curbside delivery that needs to be considered for future development. Mm-hmm. And that's where the parking, not that it's permanent parking, but temporary parking to be able to offer these commercial spaces access to their business.
Good point.
There's going to be a lot of takeout delivery. I think that'll continue going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to give these people, these residents, an opportunity to be able to have their services delivered. And that's that section between Pacific and D Street is instrumental to the overall growth of the district and the affordable housing component.
Sounds great. Thank you, Janice. I think the angled parking idea, or obviously the holistic approach, does not preclude what you just said. We could still have curbside delivery, access to businesses with the right street edge design. So I think they still can go hand in hand.
Yes, I agree with that.
And Chair, this is Yvette Mason. I appreciated Janice. She identified that it was between Pacific and D Street. Is that the section or segment? Is everybody in agreement on that? I just want to make sure that we're all talking about the same segment.
That was for me, and what I know from our district members, that was the district when we were in this study. That's the area that was identified for that type of growth.
And that's fine, Janice. I just, we'd been talking about a section and you were the first one to kind of identify it. So I just want to make sure we're all talking about the same thing.
I would hope that in the future we'd have mixed use going all the way down and wrapping around all the way up Portland Ave, not just to D Street, but continual.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think it starts to be light industrial, and Brian, you can chime in on this, as we move east, and I don't know how that, relates to street front businesses. Maybe you can jump in.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of switches a G Street kind of character-wise, but there's numerous segments I know that everybody's talked about along Puyallup Avenue, probably at least three or four fairly distinct ones. I would just say, we do have an item number three on here for Puyallup Avenue to have some discussion about it. And the reality is this is not necessarily the need to make a recommendation or any detailed findings at this point. I think the item number three in part will be laying out what the schedule looks like moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so I think these are all really good points. And that's the intent of the debrief, is sort of what did people hear and what were some of the key takeaways that will help inform those conversations moving forward. But again, it's no specific decision being made on this. This is just a debrief.
Sure.
I think it's really important that we acknowledge that the zoning does significantly change. So it was sort of just glossed over by city staff, but it goes from mixed use to, I believe it's light industrial, I want to say.
You are correct.
Yeah, and while some will argue, well, that doesn't preclude somebody from building a mixed use in there, it doesn't necessarily embrace it either. And so I've been a strong advocate that we need to completely rezone from G all the way down to the river, basically.
You're making the argument to keep the industrial from G to the east?
No. Yes. I'm making the argument that we rezone G to the river east.
Mm-hmm.
You start making it more of a community for walking, biking, living, and less the way it looks. I mean, I don't know how long can we handle a motel down there or a tire factory. Not trying to degrade those, but if we're trying to pigeon toe two light rail stations down there, we have a lot of opportunity for literally what this committee is designed for: transit oriented development.
Oh, I agree. I think of industrial areas, Yale Town up in Vancouver, BC, a lot of the areas that were industrial and converted to mixed use very successfully.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to raise my hand. Hopefully this is okay if I just chime in. This is Christine Wolf. I'm with the Port of Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously because of who I represent, I would like to put in a word of caution here. Industrial lands in Puget Sound are scarce and far and in between. And the Port of Tacoma MIC is one of the two most productive and prolific ones in terms of jobs and the impact on the local economy. And you know, those are kind of blue collar jobs, and it's, I would caution strongly against saying that it's automatically worse than having a more mixed development approach. We're actually in Seattle talking about ways to kind of develop approaches that can support certain types of mixed use development, or maybe makerspace around the edges of manufacturing industrial centers where there is access to high capacity transit without necessarily having a negative impact on the functionality and the capacity of the MIC to do its job. I would also note that in order to get funding for transportation infrastructure in the Tideflanza and around that area, the city actually has, to some extent, a requirement to make sure that that area remains economically viable and stable. So, and I guess I'm also saying, I think we collectively have to be careful about how that gets approached. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Great comments.
I'm all about having a port where people can walk to work too.
Right.
That's not that, I don't think it's as easy as that. It's about 3 miles from there to the end of the Central Peninsula. I'm not sure that everybody will want to do that, but now I'll turn myself off again. Enough said.
Thank you. All right, let's talk about the Sound Transit Access debrief. Again, here's a reminder of what that discussion was. Eric Chips provided an update on the project, potential routes, environmental review, Sound Transit's open house. We talked about the open house and how it would work. And any comments or debrief on that discussion?
Well, I thought it was significant what we said about the close to Sounder, making sure that that's in there as an option.
Okay. Okay, let's move on. So that concludes our item number one. Let's talk about the meeting schedule, which is an attachment. Let me scroll down to that. Everyone see that okay?
Yeah.
Brian and Lee Huang, I believe you updated this based on some of the information you received. Would you mind briefly going over where we're at and where we might be headed on these elements?
Yeah, I think the most obvious change is regarding Puyallup Avenue. You see some new check-ins identified there, and I know Mark will talk about that in more detail in the next item, so I won't go over it too much. And I think we had mentioned it before, was the Sound Transit TDLE project. You see up on the top, the blue line there. We have the outreach that just got finished, which Sound Transit reported on at the last meeting, and then there'll be a feedback process here January, February, so there may be another check-in at that point based on what was heard through the open house process. The other thing I'll just generally mention, obviously this only gets us out usually to the next meeting, is I think in our between discussions between staff and the chair and the vice chair, and I think we'll have to continue this a little bit, but starting in January, I think the conversation is about, you know, we really need to figure out, we're many meetings in now, and the sense of, you know, what is at the core of what the TOD advisory group is needing to produce at the end of the day, and kind of getting on the same page with the basic ideas of like, what is TOD? What are kind of the key components? What are policies and considerations that need to be taken into account for the city as a whole when it's thinking about TOD and both infrastructure investments and zoning changes in those areas. And then obviously how those policies or considerations really apply to the three projects that the TOD advisory group was kind of tasked with. And some of this exists in lots of different forms and little bits of the conversations that we've been having, like was referred to in the ULI presentation last time. But it seems like there is a real opportunity, maybe starting in January through the first three or four meetings or so, to kind of have workshops or these sort of focus sessions. I know the group has talked quite a bit about really wanting to hear from the development community on their perspective about how TOD happens on their side. I think there's clearly an opportunity to have a session probably looking at national examples of TOD and where things have been successful and where they haven't, as well as regional examples, and also to talk about regional and local policies, some of the existing framework that exists that could kind of help get to that point of not only a common understanding about TOD, but really some baseline principles or concepts that could really help guide the city long-term and this group into finalizing its recommendations on all the products or projects. So that's just sort of a concept, but something that we'll be continuing to talk about. But I think it could make sense to really have some real focus conversations to really dive into some of those key issues and get everybody kind of at the same level of understanding.
Good. Vice Chair, you have something to add?
Well, I was, you know, we're at the next meeting, we're going to kind of pull together the Portland Avenue based upon, hopefully we're going to have good input this coming up next here shortly on our agenda. But I don't want to lose sight of that report number two, which hopefully is going to make a recommendation on Portland Avenue on either site A or B. And I was hoping maybe we could even think about doing that at our meeting in January.
Vice Chair Erickson, I agree. I think after today's discussion and in 1 month from now, we'll have a debrief and have a little more discussion so that we can create a draft recommendation on or before the January meeting.
Excellent.
And this time, we understand from the resolution that we are to forward our recommendations and comments to the Transportation Commission for concurrence with adopted transportation and land use plans and policies. So we don't want to forget that step this time. Also want to say that it seems that the Puyallup Avenue, although there's some urgency in some people's minds about where this is going, it has a little bit longer time frame. As you can see here, there's concept alternatives development are going to happen in April. So I'm not saying we're putting this on the back burner, but I'm saying that could be sort of a third priority as we move forward, just because of the timeline. And that's why we're creating these timelines, to see what we need to do when. It seems also that the BRT has a 60% design outreach, and we should probably make some further comments on that shortly within the next couple of meetings. So I think we're going to have a little bit of discussion on that today. Okay, any questions on the agenda? I'm sorry, on the schedule.
Chair Baba, I have one question on the Puyallup Avenue. Can you clarify, is there a point where you have to decide whether you're moving forward without the design being completely determined? I mean, with the grant involved? I mean, is there a point where you go forward no matter what? Or I guess I'm not clear on how that works.
That's probably a point that Mark can clarify as part of his presentation that's coming up.
Yes, Mark, could you speak to that when you have your segment this evening?
I sure could, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's go back up to the agenda. And I think we're there.
Okay.
Mark and or, I'm sorry, is it Josh?
Well, I think Josh is coming in. I mean, both Josh and Dana are more than welcome to chime in on item three, but I believe their main focus is item four.
Okay, give us a check-in, a brief check-in.
Sure. I just wanted to get back to you because I know there's been some interest, there's been some questions and emails and so on, and I just wanted to keep you informed. Thank you for the 5 minutes tonight, Chair, and other members of the TODAG Commission. I think we've heard a number of concerns that we're working through and thinking about, such as the parking, such as the drop-off zones, such as the no net loss of parking. I think all these things we can really work through during the design process because it's something we do on every project through every community, whether it's, you know, the East Side or Pacific Avenue downtown or wherever. Those are important aspects to the people who live in those jurisdictions. So we want to work with you and them to make it as efficient and as reasonable and use the right of way to the best extent as we can through each one of these areas along Puyallup Avenue. So with that said, I just want to just kind of share a rough schedule. Let me share my screen. Maybe I won't be sharing my screen. I got it up. There we go. Sorry about that. So again, this is just a tentative schedule. A lot of things could change. There's periods in here that are a couple months long, so that could all actually be shortened in some instances or longer depending on what decisions are made. So basically right now, through these various meetings with you folks and feedback from the Transportation Commission, we're just looking at how best to use these grant funds. And as I mentioned earlier, looking for project funding opportunities in the future because should we carry this grant forward, it is probably an $18 million or so construction cost. We have to get that money in hand within a 10-year period. Some of the grant cycles are already out in the years 25, 26. That would be the next one. So kind of cutting ourselves short a little bit, but again, it's based on the economy and what funds are available.
Mark, can I interrupt you? Are you sharing a schedule? All we see is black right now.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Let me, I'm going to stop a share. Let me try again.
There we go.
You can see my schedule?
We can see your screen. I don't see a schedule yet.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be able to share it. It should come right up, and I was actually doing it.
Did you select the right screen when you shared?
I did. Let me stop sharing again and share screen. That's what I want to do.
There we go.
Is that it?
Beautiful.
Okay. There's a double click instead of a single click.
Thank you.
Okay. So, you know, we're in a pattern right now. As I said, we're looking at the use of the grant. We're having conversations with PSRC, taking your feedback in and kind of understanding what our next step is forward. And again, part of that decision really is to look at funding and how we can come up with the needed funding within the time frame available. So assuming the project moves forward, the April-May timeframe, we'll start sending the paperwork in so we can access these design funds. We call that obligation. And I thought maybe it'd be a good idea at that time to spend, you know, a full meeting maybe or a large chunk of a meeting talking about how we got here, all the various alternatives, and where we ended up with a hybrid alternative, just to give everybody some background. Make sure everybody's on the same page. And then to talk further about the priorities we'd want to include in our design, which again, you know, gets back to the parking, it gets back to comments from the Transportation Commission, and see how all that kind of gels. And then we would move into our design phase. The majority of the design would be done in-house. We'd hire consultants for some of the more specialized items of work. But we would work with you folks in the Transportation Commission to, through that design process, to make sure we're all on the same page as we carry through from 30, 60, 90, 100% design. The design itself, it's probably 2+ years because it's somewhat of a complicated project. It's a long stretch with a lot of businesses, potentially a lot of environmental permitting. There's some historical structures along the way, things like that, because it's federally funded, all that stuff. Has its own cycles to go through. So I'd say 2+ years. And then during that time, we're also looking for more construction funds. And then 23, we either put it on hold for a little bit and continue to look for funds, or we could move right into the construction stage if we were lucky enough to identify funds. That's kind of where we are. Again, we're kind of jotting down items. You know, it was very helpful to hear the takeaways from last month's meeting on Puyallup Avenue that I wasn't able to attend, and to hear from Janice and the port and everyone else on that. So I'm happy to talk about any questions, but that's kind of where we are right now. Oh, Janice did ask about when we would know. I'd say probably sometime in the new year, early new year. You know, we can make a decision on whether we're going to move forward with the grant or not. Ultimately, I think it's going to be the council's decision. But we'll have to have some more discussions with our public works director and so on. So
Mark, you have a December to March. That's like a 4-month period where you're going to investigate the use of grant funds. But you're just saying it most likely would be like January instead of.
Yeah, probably. I'd say January, February with the holidays. You know, we don't have this design money, so we can't put a lot of staff and a lot of effort into really developing concepts at this point. It's really, we really just have to figure out what we're doing with this grant. You know, how does the BAT transit lane affect the project? And, you know, I understand about that Rich brought up about the, you know, having a consistent streetscape across the project, as well as a pedestrian-friendly environment in some of these areas, which, I mean, it's always our goal because we're going to get people walking everywhere, especially in a transit district. So how can we make that as effective and efficient as possible, that design?
Okay. Would it be okay for us to make recommendations sometime between now and March or now in February so that when design starts again, looks like that'll be April, that you'll have some of our recommendations to use for the design concepts?
I think that'd be perfect. I think that's a really good idea. I'd like to get you the comments from the Transportation Commission as well, so you can see some of the things that were important to them. So when you assemble your recommendations, you can kind of take those into consideration and or have a separate discussion with them about maybe conflicting ideas or ideas that you want to, you know, further team up on.
This also gives us time to have a developer group meeting or discussion, which is on our agenda in the future, in the near future. So that will also help us make some recommendations, and along with the port's ideas, Christine, those were good items to obviously keep in mind, that each segment is going to have its own potential, I don't want to say identity, but feel to the street, and how there are a lot of things that impact what they should be, including funding sources. So
yeah,
that does give us more time, which is good to hear.
And I think that's a great idea. I think we always try to work with developers real closely during the project, especially if we can do things that will help save money on their end in the future as far as access and driveways and utilities and things like that. So yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Any further questions, quickly?
I have a question. Mark, one of the frustrating things down on Pacific Avenue is the amount of driveways and how that actually slows down all traffic. Mm-hmm. And it also is very negative towards bikers and pedestrians for having to watch for that. When you're looking at this a little bit, are you looking at trying to figure out how to slim down the amount of access driveways or some sort of requirement to not allow any more in the future?
What we try to do, especially when we're putting in new curb and gutter, is bring the route kind of up to Tacoma standards as far as what the requirements are for driveways, size, and location. I've worked on projects, I'm working on a large project now where, you know, once we get into that, yes, we've closed driveways, we've shifted driveways, we've worked with the developers. You know, they may have three access points and maybe they're only legally permitted two access points. We work with them on the best location. So yes, if we're updating the curb and gutter and the driveways and so on along the stretch, then we will do that. Often, if we are not, we'll leave those driveways there, and then those driveways will get addressed when that development or that piece of property goes through the permitting process again down the road. The reason we would not replace curb and gutter on a project like this, there might be some stretches, would be if we're trying to save money. And because of the size, the scope of this project and the size of it, there may be some instances where we would not do that. But there are some driveways, for example, the BNSF lot, they have, you know, their whole lot is a driveway basically. So yeah, we would definitely work with them on that. There's no curb and gutter per se along there. It's all asphalt kind of rolled curbing. So yeah, we would bring that up to standards. But we could sit down and look at all the driveways. It's actually a very thorough review of the corridor by our traffic section when they start taking a look at driveways. So we could definitely talk about that in the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. If you could stop sharing, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I think the next discussion item is the roundtable. I'm going to share again here.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Li Huang Wong. Let me share screen.
You got it.
Yeah, you can take a break. It's the same.
Okay.
All right. I'd be happy to do a really quick intro if I may, Mr. Chair.
Please do. Thank you.
So the TODAG made a recommendation to the City Council a few months back regarding the TDLE's Tacoma Dome station, but left out the Portland Avenue area station area. One of the main reasons for that is that the group felt that there's a need to have more conversations and dialogues with the Puyallup tribe, with the Port of Tacoma, and with WSDOT specifically. And so with some suggestions from the chair and vice chair, this roundtable is put together to respond to that call. And to make it a little bit more effective and efficient, I am going to run the PowerPoints prepared by the presenters, and each presenters from Sound Transit, Puyallup Tribe, Port of Tacoma, WSDOT, and Pierce Transit, in that order, will have about 5 minutes apiece. And then after that round of about 30-minute presentation, we're gonna turn the microphone, if you will, to the entire group and to have a roundtable discussion. City of Tacoma portion on the agenda, we do not have PowerPoint slides from City of Tacoma, but it'll be led by Josh from Public Works and Brian from PDS regarding issues pertaining to traffic management, basically, and land use. After that presentation, we have a round table and for about 20, 30 minutes. So the goal of this roundtable session is to provide ourselves a solid base for the group's recommendation on the Portland Avenue station area. Now, of course, after today, we should have a debriefing next meeting on December. If there's a need to have more discussions, we will have follow up. So with that, I'm going to scroll down to the PowerPoint. I want to express my appreciation to those representatives from the different agencies for providing the PowerPoint slides to me in a timely manner and in a very succinct manner. And I'm going to put myself on mute now, and then each presenter will introduce themselves as they go. So with that.
Li Wong, I'd like to add a couple of things briefly. We're running on 1 hour left here, and we have about 10 minutes of agenda items after this presentation. So if those last few agenda items, they're basically small communication items, if we don't get to those, I'm okay with that, because this is the most important part of our agenda. So I don't want to feel like we're rushed. I want to take our time and have some solid discussion. So thank you.
Noted. And with that, we're going to turn to Sound Transit.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Tim Bates, and I've met many of you. I'm with Sound Transit, and I'm the station planning lead for Tacoma Dome Link Extension. And so today we wanted to just give a quick update on TDLE generally, status, and then also do a quick overview of the Portland Avenue station. Set some context for everyone. All right, so we just wanted to do a quick reminder of where things stand on our project. And as many of you know, I'm sure you're all aware that we're in our draft environmental impact statement phase. And so as you probably recall, we've been working since 2018 really to get to this point. And doing that has involved doing a bunch of outreach to communities. It's meant working with all of the partners that are gonna speak tonight, between the Puyallup Tribe, the Port, WSDOT, of course the city and Pierce Transit. So we've really been working hard over the last couple of years to put this together. And so here on the left, you can see that we've just had a quick list. We wanted to remind you all, we did that whole process to identify alternatives. We are now in that DIS phase, and our board last summer picked the alternatives to study. So all of the alternatives that our DEIS will produce will be studied at the same level of detail, which is important. As part of that work, the board did identify a preferred alternative for the DEIS phase. And so that's really, we just wanted to set some context that really is sort of signaling at the start of the phase of the DEIS, the direction that, the conversation that have happened to date at that point. And so you'll see in a minute, as we conclude the DIS phase, then we'll get to, now that we've learned all this information about the impact, now that we've heard more from the community, does that preferred alternative still make sense? And the board will have a chance to go back and say, do we want to keep that same preferred alternative, or do we want to try to modify it? So we just wanted to signal that that's sort of why we're kind of working along. And, as we do a DIS, we have to sort of hit pause for a minute so that we can do all the analysis, and then we can all come back together and sort of see what the result was, and then think about what we want to do next. So that's sort of setting the context there. And then just wanted to highlight that in the future, we're looking toward actually early 2022 for the publishing of that draft environmental impact statement. So it's a little bit later than we had originally anticipated, and that's due to, as you can probably imagine, impacts from COVID-19 pandemic. And that's really going to be the next big chance for public comment. And that's really that formal comment period on the GEIS. So we wanted to flag that for you. After that happens, like I mentioned, our board will take all that feedback, take all the information that we've produced as part of the DEIS, and then say, gosh, we're going to head into doing the final EIS. Does that preferred alternative still make sense? Do we want to modify or make some changes? So that's when the community should look toward that change potentially happening or not. Then, of course, we'll continue to work on the design of the project itself, and we'll be planning to, these are tentative dates. We'll plan to, right now, publish the FEIS, the final EIS, in 2023. And then that's another chance for formal feedback from the community and our partners. And then finally, after all of that, that's when our board will then pick the project to be built. So that's sort of when the big decision is. All right, so that's the sort of general status update for TDLA. We just wanted to give that broad context. So now as we dive into Portland Avenue, you all are no doubt aware we've got two station alternatives here that, one is located just east of Portland Avenue. That's currently what the board has called the preferred alternative here. And then we've got one that is just a little bit to the north and a little to the west that spans over Portland Avenue, and we call it the Portland Avenue Span Station. There's a couple of differences between these two stations, and we wanted to point out that really, the Span Station, one of the big differences is that actually means there would be entrances on both sides of Portland Avenue. It gives a more opportunity for people to get to the station from either side. It also provides, we've been able to provide a space for short-term pickup and drop-off parking. It includes the bus stops are more in line on Portland Avenue, much like they are today. So that's a little more efficient for the transit operators, for Pierce Transit. Each station, of course, will have all of the most, all of the critical functions, like I mentioned, pick up and drop off. We'll be thinking about making those bike and ped connections. Of course, we would have paratransit connections, these kinds of things. So lots of things are similar, but there are a few differences there. I wanted to focus on two specific ways that we're looking at bike and ped access to the station in particular. So first, we're working with WashDOT to actually move and widen the sidewalks under Portland Avenue, or on Portland Avenue, under I-5. And you'll hear more about that later on, but we just wanted to highlight that. And then we're also looking at some options for pedestrian and bicycle bridge over I-5 that would connect to either of the station alternatives that we're looking at. I'll go to the next slide because we've got some more detail on those, and that'll help you understand them. So here we've zoomed in a little bit and put an aerial background so you can see a little bit better. We've got on the left the Portland Avenue station, and on the right the Portland Avenue Span station. And you can see here in those dark gray lines, those are roughly about where the options that we've put together for the ped bridges might go. Really south of I-5, they're virtually identical. So it's really just the north side, how they connect to the station, that changes. These are very high level concepts right now. We're really just trying to, there's sort of a proof of concept, where could it fit kind of thing. And right now the bridge is considered optional and we don't currently have an identified funding source for it. There's one to mention that as well. One or two other things just quickly, because I know we don't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to point out, you can see that the two stations here in kind of that peachy color, the platform, that's the station platform. Yes, thank you, the cursor. And you can see that one of them is a little bit different than the other. And actually, the Portland Avenue station, which is on the east side, it's actually a side platform station. And that's due to some of the engineering constraints for the alignment itself. And then the Portland Avenue Span Station is a center platform. And so there is that's a key difference as well. We have both types of those stations in our system today. I think a center platform offers a little bit more flexibility for a customer to, if you happen to get off on the wrong stop, you could just walk to the other side of the platform and get on a train the other direction. So it's a little more flexible in that way, but that's another key difference there. So that is just a very high level overview. We wanted to just kind of set that tone. And I know there's a lot of other information that's, that the other agencies will be interested in providing, but that sort of is our spiel for the evening.
All right, I'm next up. My name is Andrew Strobel. I'm the Director of Planning and Land Use for the Puyallup Tribe. And I should preface this is, I really only have one slide. The second slide included some information on the Tacoma Dome Station. I was gonna talk about both of them, but I know this is just a germane conversation just specifically on the Portland Avenue Station. So with that, sort of what Tim initially went over, we are working with Sound Transit and City of Tacoma in understanding how we could improve pedestrian access at the at this particular station location. Some of the aesthetics of going over I-5 are pretty, you know, these are some pretty tall bridges that go over and extend pretty long, you know, pretty far, especially if you're looking at the station that goes over Portland Avenue is creating a pedestrian bridge all the way from Sounder to across I-5 would be a large challenge. But we are predominantly looking at the pedestrian access here, how it can weave into a lot of the design of what the tribe has developed here around the new casino expansion development. There continues to be in this location some concerns for existing pedestrian underpasses. Tim had mentioned the Sound Transit working with the City of Tacoma on widening the section of Portland Avenue in order to expand the pedestrian access here. Currently, there's the pedestrian underpass under R Street is has sort of become, I guess I will mince my words a little bit, an attractive nuisance for encampments. And we're trying to work with our local partners about how we can sort of address these issues of, you know, we want these spaces to be activated for good pedestrian access. But at the same time, you know, if we're going to have folks that are trying to connect south of I-5, there are some current challenges that are making it fairly difficult to make those connections. You know, so some of the right-of-way is completely taken up. And so there's some difficulty if you wanted to be a pedestrian right now, at least to be able to access, you know, south of I-5. And so I think coming up with design considerations for these underpasses are going to be a key part to the success of this particular station. Also, just in general, pedestrian improvements across 27th and 28th Street, this is a pretty, you know, these are folks coming off of the freeway. And you know, we have had some pedestrian fatalities that within this area already. And so coming up with a design that can be pedestrian friendly across these streets, whether it be a pedestrian bridge or not, is going to be key to the success of the station, just based off of the current driving habits in the area. The tribe has some, I guess, worry slightly of knowing that this station doesn't come with any parking amenities with it. You know, the tribe obviously has at the new casino various levels of parking in the area, and we're a little bit concerned of some cannibalization of our parking for the purposes of commuters. And so continuing to work with Sound Transit to identify either some designated space or ways to sort of recognize what types of users are using tribal, you know, facilities versus Sound Transit's facilities, I think is going to be an important challenge in this area without any parking facilities. And I'm not advocating that there be another, you know, parking garage or anything like that. I just think that there's just going to be challenges in designing how the rest of the tribal campus on the other side of I-5 sort of molds into this particular station and what types of users are going to be using it. You know, we anticipate that we are going to have, you know, patrons that are coming from the airport, but also, you know, the tribe being one of the largest employers in the county, we anticipate that there are going to be a lot of users that are actually work or regularly, you know, work within this area, use these stations. And then sort of the final sort of consideration is that, the ability for accommodations for kiss and ride queuing. So the ability to have taxis and, you know, the tribe operates a shuttle service to its casinos to be able to pick up folks will be part of, I think, a successful design of, how we look and how this station sort of functions within the area. Overall, you know, we're excited for this station, to be located here. I think there's a lot of people trying to understand what is the purpose of this station, how does it serve the community in the area? And, as the tribe continues to expand its economic development in, where the new casino is and where we'll, eventually have plans for expanding other economic development ventures where the old casino is located. We think that this will be a well-used, station that will segue into a lot of the activities that are south of I-5. So that's just my comments there. And like I said, disregard my Tacoma Dome station slide. I'll be more than happy to come back and talk more about that station if there's any interest in the tribe's perspective on that station. So
Andrew, can I just ask a quick question before you move on? You presented the Portland Avenue station and not the Span station. Was there a reason for that? Or are you advocating one over the other at this point?
So we're consistent with the preferred alternative, which is the non-span version. We think the span version, while there is some opportunity to get pedestrian access from both sides of the road, and I think there is a certain pedestrian advantage there, I think a lot of the benefits of where pedestrians are going in the that. Versus that station are, we think that they're going more south. And obviously we can think future focus here of the other parts of, that are north of the Sounder location. But I think the reason why I didn't sort of show the span version is because we do agree with the preferred alternative. I don't think the span is a deal breaker whatsoever. It's just further away from where pedestrians we think are anticipating to go.
And I would assume it has the same concerns that you brought up for this station, right?
There still remains to be there are more there are actually more streets you have to cross, I believe, on the span station. If I remember correctly, you have to cross 26 as well as 27th and 28th. So. Obviously from a pedestrian standpoint, it's a little bit, a little bit more concerned there to get pedestrians to, their ideal location. And without these bridge spans being nailed as something that's actually going to be part of the station, I think we have to think about the station without them, how they would function potentially without them, since they're not connected to Sound Transit's budget.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks.
Are you guys hearing and seeing me?
We hear you.
Okay, good. I think I'm going to leave my video off because I tend to crash when I show my face. So everybody, good evening. My name is Christine Wolf, and I'm the transportation planner for the Port of Tacoma. You know, we have a slightly different approach to this. Just to start out with, the port is very, very happy about the fact that Link Light Rail is coming to Tacoma and that there will be a connection to the airport at this point in, at that point in time. We strongly believe that, you know, we collectively need to get out of our cars and spend more time on transit and walking and biking. In part because it also helps remove single occupancy vehicles that interact with freight traffic on the roads. You know, our perspective on this is a little bit broader. What we care about is making sure that the freight traffic and the cargo traffic on the road that moves between our facilities and the warehousing and distribution facilities in the region can continue to function and move efficiently and reliably. And so the Portland corridor is a very, very important corridor for us getting to and from the freeway. I just wanted to step back now a little bit and say, you know, we as the port have a different kind of role than most other agencies. We're kind of a single purpose government. Our mission, our job is to create economic development and jobs in the region. And while we're doing that, you know, that also supports taxes that then go to things like roads and schools and other public infrastructure that's necessary. And so we don't necessarily see ours, and sometimes we get criticized for always being most focused on freight and not speaking a lot about the other modes. And that's just simply because we're typically the only agency in the room who really, by definition, by the very fact of its mission, has a focus on freight mobility. Can I have the next slide? So I just thought I'd show you where we are as an agency. If you look to the right, that orange sign, that's the Northwest Seaport Alliance, and we're sort of a major link in the supply chain. 90% of everything that everybody here on the call and overall in the country consumes comes from overseas, and most of that arrives in the US and in Washington State on a ship. And then it goes to warehousing and distribution centers, and it either goes to the store or increasingly more frequently to your own house, to our own houses. You know, at the same time, we're also providing export opportunities for products that come from Washington State. And so for us being able to get to those warehousing and distribution centers and for the trucks that are coming in from production facilities in the state or from other parts of the country is really important to us. And Portland Avenue is one of very, very few connections in the tide flats that we have to the freeway system. And I'm sure everybody on the call has been stuck on I-5 when something happens in the tide flats area. And what that then means for us is that we can't get off or onto the tide flats at all. And sometimes it takes 3-4 hours to get on or off. And so from our perspective, it's really important to have a lot of resilience, as much resiliency in the system so that there is at least one way out or two ways out if others are unavailable to us. Next slide, please. And that's just the story that I wanted to tell. If you look at the right-hand side first, this is just the new warehousing development that is in process right now in the region that doesn't even cover what's already there, like that 1.3 million square foot warehouse that's on 11th Street that is accessed by Portland Avenue. we have a lot of warehousing and distribution centers in the region, and there's more and more coming because of the lifestyle that we have. And, you know, that's then if you look at the left-hand side, I stuck this in because often when we talk about freight mobility and the need for access to warehousing and distribution centers along corridors like Portland Avenue, you know, it's sort of neutral, and you don't really understand, we don't necessarily always understand what it means. What you see on that map on the left-hand side are all the warehousing and distribution centers that major businesses have in the Puget Sound region. And I challenge you to tell me that you don't take advantage of the products that come from at least one or two or three of those facilities. So it's not the port that needs this, is what I'm saying. It's all of us as consumers and as businesses who are dependent on those connections. And that's why we care about ensuring that Portland Avenue stays as a efficient and reliable freight corridor. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Christine.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Philip Harris. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Okay, yes. So I'm Philip Harris. I'm a transit integration planner with WashDOT's Regional Transit Coordination Division. And as the Regional Transit Coordination Division is really focused on supporting Sound Transit's planning and design projects throughout the Puget Sound region. And so that involves coordinating with the various WashDOT projects and Sound Transit projects which are in or near WashDOT's right-of-way. So for example, in Fife, the extension of State Route 167, we've been coordinating with that 167 project team and Sound Transit just to make sure that each project is not getting in the other's way. And again, in South Federal Way, doing something similar. So often people think about WashDOT as being focused on just moving cars and trucks and traffic. And really we're thinking more in a multimodal perspective. And so that involves both pedestrian and bicycle access. So in this case, you know, that's going to involve coordination, not just with Sound Transit, but also with our partners, tribal partners, as well as City of Tacoma. Next slide, please. So in the Portland Avenue I-5 area in particular, you know, I've noted that a lot of the Sound Transit light rail expansion is really adjacent to I-5 or close to I-5, or sometimes actually within the I-5 right-of-way. In this case, the alignment is actually away from I-5, but I-5 still forms a barrier, especially for pedestrian access. And Tim Bates, as well as Andrew, have referred to the I-5 underpass at Portland Avenue as a pretty hostile pedestrian environment. And so one of the things that WashDOT's doing right now is working on Sound Transit with an agreement, which will involve the redesign of that underpass. If you can go to the next slide, please. And so as you see here, the piers supporting the I-5 have a very narrow sidewalk alongside the roadway. It's probably about 5 feet wide. I don't have pictures of the final design, but basically the concept will be to move the sidewalk on the other side of those piers and reconfigure that that slope. So eventually there'll be about a 16-foot wide sidewalk. WashDOT also had concerns about what happens in these underpasses, you know, with homeless camps and so on. And we also want to do this sidewalk in a way which will discourage that kind of activity in those areas. So one of the ideas is to actually make it much better lit, wider sidewalk, and just generally improve the pedestrian environment, because we know that people want to access, you know, whether it's the Emerald Queen Casino or the neighbors south of I-5 and access the station from that. So This agreement negotiations are ongoing right now, and hopefully we'll come to an agreement probably within the next few months to move forward. So that's just a quick summary. The other thing before I go is that thinking about improved pedestrian and bicycle access, that's something that just supports TOD. And for us, TOD doesn't necessarily mean just commercial or residential uses. It can also mean light industrial uses, blue collar uses, and so which backs up what Christine was talking about earlier. So I think I'll leave it just there and look forward to any comments.
Could you repeat that last comment you made about, I swear you said something about TOD means something different, or did I hear you wrong?
What I said was TOD doesn't necessarily mean just commercial or residential uses. There are examples in other cities, Portland, some of the cities around the country where there are transit-oriented light industrial units. So I don't want to restrict the idea of thinking about TOD just purely in terms of commercial or residential uses. That's the point I was trying to make.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Tina Lee. I'm Pierce Transit's planning manager. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. I wanted to start just by setting a foundation. This is a small snapshot of just a quadrant of our service area. This is the southeast area. And I thought it was important just to ground us in that when we think about public transportation and Pierce Transit as planning, we're thinking of a system, and this is a stop that is part of the system that we're working on. And in particular, what's really important as we're thinking about Portland Avenue is the Tacoma Dome Station and also links that are coming to and from the area. So this particular map shows you, if you're looking at the top left side, there's a Tacoma Dome Station, and then next to it is a yellow star, and that is really representing where the station area is at 26th and Portland. And I wanted to mention the services that are operating in the area. I'll talk in a second about some of the existing services that are proposed at this station, but I just want to mention that many of the routes that are coming, that will be traveling to Portland Avenue, are coming and going first from Puyallup and the Tacoma Dome area. And today there are more than 515 bus trips going each direction on Puyallup Avenue, and those are still planned. In the future, by 2040, with proposed expansion as we achieve our growth, we'll have more than 580 trips a day in each direction on Puyallup Avenue. And some of those are going to continue on over to 26th and Portland. So go ahead and go to the next slide. This is just a graphic that shows from our long range plan the routes that are going to be traveling to that Portland or that 26th and Portland Avenue area. The inset there shows you Portland. And if you look at the blue dots, those are bus stops. The one furthest to the north is actually 26th and Portland area. Exactly. Thank you. And just to highlight the routes that are going to be traveling there, today we have the Route 41 and the 400. And so where those trips are originating and coming from, the 400 is traveling from Puyallup, and it is going into downtown Tacoma, and it will travel past the station area. And then the 41 is traveling from Portland Avenue and the Salishan area north to the station. In that long range plan, we're going to be connecting the Route 11 and the 41, and that is the blue line that you see on the map. So in theory, someone can travel from either Tacoma, North Tacoma, Old Town, through downtown Tacoma, all the way out to Tacoma Dome Station or to this particular station we've been talking about, or they can travel further south down Puyallup, Salishan, and even to Tacoma Mall area. And then the green line that you're seeing is today's Route 54. That route also travels to Tacoma Mall, and then travels down Portland Avenue. It connects to another facility we have at 72nd and Portland. In our long-range vision, it will travel all the way down to Pacific Lutheran University. So what I'm just trying to highlight here is how a lot of our services will be traveling to and from the station area, and the number of trips that someone could theoretically ride if they've come or gone on Link Light Rail that is coming through that station. Today, we have about 103 bus trips going in either direction in the station area. That'll increase by about 40% in the future to about 145. And then the frequency and span, the graph that you see at the bottom of this slide gives you a sense of how often those trips are traveling. And we use the term headway on here, and we always try not to do that. And I didn't catch it before I put this slide together, but really what that means is the frequency, how often a trip is coming or going from a bus stop or a station. So today, the routes that are traveling in the area are every 30 minutes, but our vision is to have trips every 20 minutes. So really high frequent service that is connecting individuals traveling to or from the station to take them further along to their destination, be that south to along Portland Avenue, be it to the Tacoma Mall area, or even to Puyallup. And also that long-range vision is increasing the span, so having services that are starting early in the morning, running later in the evening. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. So I also put one of the station graphics. This is an older graphic, so I apologize to Sound Transit. It's not your newest one, but this is the one I could find the quickest when I was putting our presentation together. And as Pierce Transit has looked at the designs, we really are supportive of the Portland Avenue Span Station. What we really like about this is keeping those bus services on Puyallup Avenue using stops that are adjacent to the street, so the service is efficient and those buses can go quickly and continue on their trip either to the Tacoma Dome Station or further south down Portland Avenue or to Puyallup. The other conversation that we really had at our agency as we thought about how we maneuver our buses and how our passengers and people who are walking in the corridor or taking their bike to the service or getting on or off a bus is how they're going to cross Portland Avenue. And it does concern us. And we thought a lot about that span station as being another opportunity for someone to safely travel over Portland Avenue, where they could actually use the station to cross Portland Avenue, which was one of the things we really liked about that concept. And I think that is our last graphic. So I will leave it at that.
Okay, Lee Huang, where do we go from here?
Oh, sorry, I have to find my unmute button. So City of Tacoma, Public Works and PDS, Josh and Brian, anything to chime in? Looking at the map of the two options here, anything from traffic management, street grid, land use, and from that perspective, anything to chime in? After that, then we'll turn back to you, Chair Baba, for the entire group to exchange ideas.
Okay.
Thank you, Lee Huang. Thank you, Chair. This is Josh Diekman with the City of Tacoma. I'm the city's traffic engineer. As mentioned, I'm here primarily with the goal of providing some helpful context for the Portland Avenue Station discussion. The context I'm going to provide mostly comes from the policy guidance in the city's transportation master plan, which many of you are familiar with because you've either been involved with the development of the plan or you've used it for other projects such as Portland Avenue. The Portland Avenue Station, I think, is representative of many of the strengths and limitations of the Transportation Master Plan. While it goes into detail about policies and priorities that help us guide our investments and help us make decisions when the time comes to design a project, it doesn't necessarily have all those projects pre-designed, and it just helps us make those trade-off decisions when we're in the midst of design or in the midst of a project as we are now. And so, One of the things the Transportation Master Plan does is map out priority networks for each mode, such as auto, freight, bicycle, transit, and identifies the streets that are exceptionally important to each of those modes. Those are known as the priority network. And where priority network designations exist, designers know that not only does that mode need to be accommodated, it should receive a higher level than normal of accommodation on that street. So some streets are important to multiple modes. And as you're aware, Puyallup Avenue is one of those. Portland is another. It's identified as important to multiple modes, including pedestrian, auto, and bicycle, but especially south of I-5, but ultimately north of I-5 as well. One of the other modes that's identified in the Transportation Master Plan is streetcar. In addition, there have been some ongoing planning efforts since the Transportation Master Plan was last modified. The plan was first adopted in 2015, but we've continued to do a little bit of advanced planning work. One of those things you've heard a little bit about tonight, and that is some of the work that's going on that's been a cooperative effort with WashDOT and Sound Transit and the city to look at capacity limitations at the Portland Avenue interchange and things we might do to remove that as a bottleneck or at least make it less of a bottleneck. Some of the other things we've been doing are looking at regional trail connections and connectivity. And that's really driven home the importance of every crossing point of I-5, because I-5, like some of the rivers in the area, there are limited opportunities to cross it, and we really need to make every effort we can to serve the needs of all the modes that rely on those limited crossing points as connections. And so hence we've given a lot of attention to Portland Avenue crossing point initially, but as Andrew mentioned, there are other crossing points that are important. I mentioned Bay Street, but I should note that we're also looking at connection points like L Street as being important to multiple modes. Pedestrians are one of the modes it's the only mode that's identified as the top priority on every corridor. And so it's kind of the common denominator that links all modes of transportation with each other and with the things that transportation is there to connect. It's the most equitable and sustainable mode of transportation. And so on top of pedestrians being a priority everywhere, the TMP envisions a higher level of design in areas like business districts or near business districts like Lower Portland Avenue and near mixed-use centers. And so both stations that we're talking about are entirely within the walk sheds where a higher level of pedestrian accommodation is envisioned. So the TMP would say that pedestrian accommodations are one of the priorities that we should be looking at when looking at street redesign. So while Puyallup Avenue and Portland have been identified as priorities for multiple modes, there are other cases where the roads are not identified as part of backbone networks. And in those cases, the city's complete streets ordinance would govern instead because the Transportation Master Plan doesn't say they're modal priority corridors. However, the city does have policies that say that all streets should, to the extent possible, accommodate all modes and all users. There isn't, however, a master plan that includes a future grid reconfiguration. Or said another way, the vision speaks to and is strong when it comes to priorities, but it doesn't get prescriptive about outcomes. And so you won't see things like a pedestrian bridge over I-5 or something that tells you how many lanes are needed on Portland Avenue or whether or not those lanes should be dedicated to HOV or transit queue jumps or details like that. It just gives the overarching policies and points us in a policy direction that needs to get worked out in design. That being said, as we heard a little bit earlier, we have given a little bit of forethought, as I mentioned, to the interchange area and especially to some of the regional trail connections. So as you embark on your consideration of station area needs, one of the things that you can expect to see is that the work that has already been mentioned tonight about the sidewalks being moved to the back end of the column will help to remove or improve the operation and efficiency of that interchange. That being said, we do expect that it's still going to be a bottleneck. And even though we've got multiple modes to prioritize north of I-5, We do think that if you're familiar with the area, as you all are, there are an awful lot of lanes out there. And so it also represents an opportunity to re-optimize what we're doing with the corridor, kind of like we're having the discussion on Puyallup Avenue. We think that the space on Portland Avenue can also be reconfigured to better serve the needs of all modes. And right now there's some modes that are lacking from that corridor. And we think there are opportunity areas as we move forward with the station area evaluation. With that, I also want to give Brian an opportunity to talk about some of the land use context. And so I'll turn it over to Brian.
Thanks, Josh. And I will just, recognizing the time, I'll just make a couple of quick notes from the land use side. I'll be honest with everybody. This is the Portland Avenue station area, or what's been identified now for this new light rail station area, is not a location that has received a lot of traditional planning emphasis. So there hasn't been a whole lot of master planning, a whole lot of conversation about what the significant future vision is for this particular area. There's certainly an opportunity to do that, and the station may be the trigger point for some of those conversations. It is, though, I guess the word that always comes to my mind is crossroads. You know, it's sort of not only because there's lots of intersections there, but it's obviously one of the significant crossroads for Tacoma, one of the significant access points, as was brought up earlier. Lots of freight traffic coming from the western portion of the Tide Flats connecting to I-5. It's also the spot where most of the east side of Tacoma sort of filters down to I-5. It's also crossroads between Fife and Tacoma and numerous other things. So in our current planning policies, I think was mentioned earlier, this is part of the Port of Tacoma Manufacturing Industrial Center, which is one of, I think, 10 in the region and certainly one of the most significant ones. Now we do have a mixed use center on the south of I-5, across the lower Portland Avenue mixed use center, which includes a lot of the tribe properties as well. And I think as Andrew mentioned earlier, this is certainly their focus, their sort of administrative and entertainment hub down there for the tribe. So lots of activities on the south side of I-5 at the same time. In the Manufacturing Industrial Center, it's really identified as kind of a transition area. And I think the existing zoning, which is light industrial, and the existing development pattern pretty well reflects that. I mean, it's quite a mix of stuff, right? You've got industrial, light industrial activities down there. We've got the soccer center. We've got retail activity. We've got hotels. We've got, there's still some single family residential not too far away from here. So it's definitely a significant mix of stuff. And like I say, big opportunity long-term to think about how it may transition with this new transportation infrastructure. And then the last point I would just make, and it's a little bit of reiterating a little bit of what Christine said, as well as Philip, I think that when we think about transit-oriented development, is one of the things that a lot of folks focus on, the idea of residential or particularly mixed use residential. And obviously transit facilities are about getting people from where they live to where they want to go to. And that can be work and that can be entertainment and that can be personal services and all sorts of things. So there are things at both ends of that trip that make sense. I think while the casino is not necessarily what folks might think of as transit oriented development, it probably is. It's going to be one of the largest employers along this corridor, and I have no doubt that employees will travel along this light rail to go there and work, and we hope that's also true of folks in the port and other businesses in the area. So transit-oriented development certainly can be different concepts. It's just about, you know, benefiting from the transit service and obviously not driving as much.
Mr. Chair, I have a comment or question. Maybe a challenge for folks, if I may.
Sure.
I keep hearing from folks about what transit-oriented development is, but it said so without any data, without any backing up. And from my experience, particularly heavy industrial, it just does not generate transit utilization. It's partly because of the shift changes, the amount of free parking, things like that. And so I would hope that when folks say what transit-oriented development is, that we can eventually see some data behind that. We heard it from WashDOT. We now hear it from the city. We've heard it from the port. And I'm not arguing that it's not that, but where we really see the utilization of TOD is when people live there. Trying to get people out of their cars to get to the transit service. So I almost feel like there is an attempt to redefine what TOD is here without any backing it up. And I take issue with that without any sort of statistical data, without any research about it. And my experience, and Tina, if you want, there was a whole push at one point at Pierce Transit to get more transit service through industrial parks and into the port, when we just know that it just doesn't provide the transit service that people in their head thinks it might.
Okay.
Hi. Imad?
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah.
Rick, before you start, I just need to say, we have like 20 minutes, maybe max, to have a discussion.
I would just like to put it on record that I agree with Justin in this point, that TOD does have very historic principles, and we have many websites and lists of the 10 principles of TOD, and they, as far as I know, do not include industrial use. That's one reason why we in the TOD portion of the Dome District have defended the industrial zoning to continue outside of the district. We're not trying to make that a TOD. We're trying to make the area from Pacific to G that is zoned appropriately for TOD development actualize the TOD. I think that's why we've had trouble working with Portland Avenue Station and pretending like we're embracing TOD principles there when it really doesn't encompass those. And so I'd just like to put that on record that we should define, we are the Transportation Oriented Development Advisory Group, and just that, not... We're not supposed to be looking at zoning changes right now. So
Rick, thank you. One thing that Brian alluded to earlier is that we're going to be studying this for a while, and I think we want to bring in clear definitions of what TOD is to the group so that we have that ammunition. And I'm going to make it a point that next time we will bring in a definition and look at the data and those principles that make up TOD so that we can clear the air for this group. And I appreciate what you guys have said, and we'll try to bring that data forward, okay?
Great.
So with that, let's start the discussion. We don't have much more time, but I first want to thank all the presenters, Andrew, Christine, Philip, Tina, Josh, Brian. Thank you so much for those presentations. They've been very helpful and are going to be helpful for us to make decisions as we move forward. I'm going to start off with asking a couple of pointed questions, and then the rest of us can chime in. Andrew, you've identified the Portland Avenue Station as your preferred alternative, and Tina, you identified the BRT's or Pierce Transit's span station as your preferred alternative. What I'd like to hear from, I didn't hear from Christine or Philip on which station or the other is your preferred and why. Let's start with Christine. Maybe you could give a brief, just a few minutes on that, please.
Yeah, so I have to admit I am torn because on the one hand, I really like the span station and the fact that it will reduce pedestrian crossings on Portland Avenue mm-hmm. and make it safer for everybody. On the other hand, I am not too enthusiastic, I have to admit, about inline transit stops on Portland Avenue, because it is, as I said earlier, it is one of very, very few freeway access corridors on the west side of the tide flats. So that's why I was focusing my comments on making sure that the Portland Avenue corridor remains efficient and reliable for the movement of freight. So if you could give me a hybrid of those two, I would be very happy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Okay, so Philip, how about you? Any thoughts on a preferred location and why?
I don't really have a preferred location, and I know it might seem like a bit of a cop-out, but I'm actually torn, I'm also torn, maybe for slightly different reasons. The Portland Avenue Span Station I like because there's access on both sides of the street, and it actually would line up very well with the improvements under I-5. But what I like about the, maybe what they call the preferred option is that it does get pedestrians closer to Bay Street, and if they're walking to other parts of the tribal development, it's a closer walk. So, you know, I can't commit to either one at this point. You know, I think there's ways of working with both of them, but at this point, I don't have a preferred station.
So you're leaving it up to us.
I think there's still a ways to go. I mean, I think there's still some more stuff to be analyzed, but at this point, yeah.
Certainly. Great. Fair enough. Thank you. Is it fair to ask Josh or Brian of a preferred location at this point?
I'd be happy to speak to the transportation perspective and say that there's still some information that we're waiting to review as part of the EIS. And so until we see how all modes are going to get to and from the stations, we won't be able to make a holistic assessment of which one balances those concerns better. Mm.
I will say, I'm torn a little bit as well. I mean, clearly there's two big barriers in this area, I-5 being one of them and Portland Avenue being the other one. Both are difficult to cross right now and probably always will be to some extent. The preferred alternative certainly provides a slightly better access and location to get under I-5 at multiple points, but leaves Portland Avenue as still its significant barrier. And I think, so I tend to lean a little bit to the span just because I think there's also significant opportunities to the west that we don't tend to think of, you know, the hotel and even farther to the west of other opportunities, not only for transportation connections, but potential development opportunities that could benefit as well.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. All right. Questions, comments? Wide open.
I have one question. This is Janice. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's been talked about, but I've not been given the numbers of projected daily users coming from each station by bus, by car, for each of the Portland and the TD and the Tacoma Dome. So we know who's originating and terminating at those points.
Where can we get those from? Sound Transit, probably?
Yeah, sorry, looking for the mute button. I think we would know it by now, right?
But that's right.
Every platform has the mute button in a different location. Yes, that will definitely, the great question, Janice. We will definitely have that information in the environmental impact statement, and I will look to see what information we have available now. I believe you're asking for numbers of riders to the different stations on the link, but then also how people will arrive to the station or depart, as it were. So whether they're going to come by, you know, car or bus or walking, biking, so forth. Is that right? That's what you're looking for?
Yes. And at the Tacoma Dome station, we also have the link.
The link,
the
right.
Little link. So.
Yep.
So we would have 3-4 modes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let me look into that.
And Amtrak.
And Greyhound.
And Greyhound.
Sue, is it true that
And spaceship.
Sure. Sue, is it true or not that the previous station designs and projections have been surpassed to date? Can you say that?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand. Are you asking if we've changed the designs?
Or? No. The previous designs that are already in place, stations that are in place, you've had projections for those in the past.
Yes.
Have those projections been surpassed or are they meeting those goals, or how can you speak to that?
Yes, they were surpassed. So we did better than the projections, you know, ridership projections that we made during the environmental impact statements on the portion of the link that is built, which of course you all know is up in Seattle and goes down to South 200th, Angle Lake, and SeaTac. You know, I don't know if Eric Chips is still on, if he has that information in his head, or I can put it on the list to also get that back to you.
Yeah, please put it on your list.
Okay.
And Tina, I suppose you're going to chime in on the bus service, right?
Yeah, I can chime in on the bus service. So, you know, at 26th and Portland, there are just two local buses, and you don't have the link there yet. So today there's about 20 ons and 60 people getting off at those stops. That number's going to change dramatically once Link Light Rail is there. But then at Tacoma Dome Station, all I can tell you about is the buses. This will not include Link Light Rail. This will not include Sounder. But on an average weekday, we have about 1,700 people getting on either a Pierce Transit or Sound Transit bus at the Tacoma Dome Station. So it's pretty significant.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, other questions or comments?
I had a question. I have my hand up. I don't know. First time I used the button. I'm a little concerned the options on the Portland Avenue stations with the pedestrian bridges. How likely is the funding going to be there? I mean, they're really important in making a decision, I think, in terms of how either A or B works. Is there funding will there be funding for bike and pedestrian crossings? The options here show possibly two per station A or B. Is that realistic, I guess? Or is it something that's gonna, you know, is it a 50-50 chance? Is it 25-75? It's a nice thing to see, but how realistic is it? And who's gonna fund it?
Going to take an act of Congress. So how do you feel about that? Meaning it's going to need federal funding probably.
Mm. And one or two. Probably more likely. The concept is just to have one of them.
Yeah. It's one or the other. And as I think Justin mentioned and has been mentioned before, there is currently no funding. These are not cheap by any means. And so I certainly can't put a percentage on it at this point. But it would be a heavy lift. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Erickson, I think we just have to concede that whatever recommendation we make will be without those. And how will the pedestrian crossings work without those bridges, I think will have to be part of our analysis.
Yeah, and I think to what Andrew said earlier, I think you almost have to think about it. How would it work best without, with the idea that if a bridge was done, that obviously improves things. But even if there was a pedestrian bridge, I think we can all recognize that that doesn't mean everybody would use it. I mean, they'll be going to other places. And so the sidewalk network and undercrossings of I-5 and all those other components are still massively critical, even if there was a bridge put in.
More comments?
Chair.
Yes.
This is Yvette. I'm sorry. So in light of that last comment and pedestrian safety and having to go under I-5, so again, assuming that there is no pedestrian bridge and going under I-5, mm-hmm. My guess is that if the span were in place, most people would use the okay, you're calling it option one versus option two. And is there a, I would be interested in knowing if there was a safety analysis on one or two. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Is option one safer than option two, or is option two safer than option one? Because I think that should be figured into the decision on whether it's a span or the East 27th location.
I agree.
Agreed. So you're saying the safety concerns should obviously be considered.
Right. And I appreciate the presentations that were done, but I didn't get a sense as to which one would be safer on the underpass issue.
Yeah. Can anyone speak to that? Whoever had this slide.
And Yvette, I assume you're talking about the safety of the users of the bridge itself.
Yes. And I'm assuming that's mostly pedestrians and bicyclists, but I mean, maybe it's more.
So if
we're trying to look at this without the bridge, and we're just trying to look at the underpass, and if I say underpants, I apologize, but the underpass issue, has there been any safety assessment done on option one versus option two? Because then if you shift to, if it's option one, then I would say that the span is the better option. I can't see, if there's a station at the span, I can't see anybody walking, over by Bay Street more.
I agree with that. You want to take the shortest route.
Exactly. And I don't know which is the safer route, if it's to Tim? Walk under at Portland or over at Bay.
Right. So Tim or Sue, can either of you speak to that?
Can I make one before Tim? Sorry, Tim. I will say, Yvette, that is on the side of where the casino hotel is at, Bay Street 1. Mm-hmm. And the future, I believe, Andrew, if you're still on, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there are long-range plans to expand the hotel. But there's also long-range plans to expand the utilization of where I would offer is the old casino lot and develop that more. So I think in the future, there is more coming from the tribe's point of view on the east side of their kind of land use down there on the other side of that casino. So I hear what you're saying, but I think that there is more opportunity there on that side than I think we're realizing in the long run. And by the time this gets done, that we might actually see that come to fruition. Sorry, good. Tim.
Good point. Thanks, Justin.
No, that's great. I didn't think about that. I guess I'm more focused on the safety piece of it. But if there are future plans to the east of the new casino or more in the area of the old casino, that would be good information. And then if that is the case, I would say that looking at the two options with that safety filter would be very important.
So this is Tim. I'll just dive in quickly just to say we have not done any sort of analysis on the safety explicitly. You know, I think I mentioned these are, for the bridges, very much a sort of proof of concept to try to find a place to fit a bridge and sort of do just enough to figure out how much would we have to clear and how long would the ramping be and all of that. So it's very, very, very high level. What I would say is, there's the overcrossings and then there's the undercrossings, right? So the underpasses of I-5, you know, as Phil described, the idea to improve the Portland Avenue undercrossing really will be to move those sidewalks inside. So you'll be physically separated from the traffic by the columns. And it will be, you know, a nice wide space. Now that'll actually be very similar to the current condition of the undercrossing at Bay Street, R Street. So there's already that crossing there, and it's very, very similar design. I think it's not going to be, or the Portland Avenue will be a little, will be wider than the Bay Street undercrossing, but it'll be very similar. So, you know, I think that doesn't really answer, I know that doesn't really answer your question about safety, but in terms of the sort of physicality of it, they will be similar in that regard. You know, there's lots of other issues. I think, you know, you heard that earlier about, you know, questions on, you know, what's happening in the underpasses, how do we keep them, you know, clear and safe for travel and that sort of thing. There's some different questions there, but in terms of the physical piece, they both have to cross 27th Street. They both have to cross 28th Street. They're going to be similar in many ways. It's a lot of it is really about, like there's been discussion, which side of the block would the crossing end up being on? Hopefully that's helpful. And then my colleague, Eric, I don't know if Eric, if you had anything addition you wanted to add.
No, thanks, Tim. Just real quick, I think Justin kind of had the right point there about, I think what you're asking about the safety of a facility like this, a pedestrian bicycle overcrossing, is not how we would design that facility necessarily, because we would design it to be safe itself. We designed it to all the safety standards that were necessary. It's whether it one option over another would attract more users possibly, and therefore result in an overall more safe, you know, utilization of the area by people. And but because that gets down into a lot of micro analysis, we haven't done any kind of analysis like that. I would just point out though that you have to kind of look beyond this map when you're going to do something like that. You have to think about all the residential areas to the south of the casino area, south of I-5, you know, up the hill, up Portland Avenue on both east side and the west side. So it's really hard to predict how people might ultimately end up using this facility, one or the other. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. And please know, I was thinking of the underpass issue, assuming that the bridges might be afterwards.
Right. And I'll just add, an analysis like that, if we were to take people off the street and put them on the bridge like that, if it was significant, depending on either which bridge we're talking about, it doesn't really matter. The minute we take those people off of those, out of those intersections, those busy intersections, it's probably going to say that you're going to result in less incidences potential at those intersections, and therefore an increase in safety. I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Liz Kester. I'm the City of Tacoma's Active Transportation Coordinator, and just wanted to share a map here of the bicycle and pedestrian crashes that we've seen between 2015 and 2019. And you can definitely see we have a cluster in this area, and so that's something our whole transportation team and the Bicycle Pedestrian Technical Advisory Group have been looking at really closely is how to improve the safety for all modes in this area.
Liz, do you have any current recommendations or anything to share, a report?
Yeah, I mean, I think just reiterating Brian's earlier point that we don't think a bridge would, we would still need on-street improvements to improve safety here. A bridge isn't going to meet the needs of all users. And so it doesn't take away the need to really look at how we improve this area here for pedestrians and cyclists and everyone who's using the street.
Okay, thank you. So we need to wrap up here. Are there any other last minute questions or comments? Anyone? Well, Lee Huang and Brian, as I said before, I think I'd like to postpone the last few items to our next meeting, with the exception of our future agenda items. I'd like to point that out. So let me share my screen really quick, and we'll just adjourn. Oh, where is it? Okay. Everybody see my screen? Oh, that's not the right one. There we go.
see the agenda?
Yep.
All right, so I just want to talk about our future meetings really quick. Obviously, we have our agenda is to have a recommendation for this station location we've been talking about, and also the Puyallup Avenue Design Project recommendation. We're going to have a developers focus group, as some of us have mentioned in the past, some of you have mentioned. We'll also have a CED presentation to get their take on both station locations more in detail. That's community and economic development. And then we'll continue our work plan and schedule every time we meet. And we also are going to have a quiet zone update. I'd like to say that we've had some great presentations today with lots of pros and cons from each organization that presented, each department. And we're going to have, what I'd like to do next time at our debrief is to sort of highlight those pros and cons of each and then have a further discussion on what we think is more important than the other and how we can start to prioritize our recommendation. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone for attending. Great job, especially the presenters. Thank you very much. And we will see you next time.